Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all having a fine Feast of Tabernacles. Now we've come to the sixth day. I hope we've all enjoyed ourselves and rejoiced very much before God. Brethren, do we realize how blessed we are to have access to the Word of God? You probably have your Bible already in your hand or in your lap. If you don't, maybe then you have your smartphone handy, or you have your laptop or your tablet. And on there, you might have not just one Bible, but dozens of translations. And along with that, maybe hundreds of commentaries, lexicons, dictionaries, more study resources than a person could ever actually use. Somehow, in spite of all of this, we never do seem to read the Bible as much as we feel like we should, despite that unprecedented access throughout all of history that we have. And that's for us in the church. We often feel that way, right? The average American watches 5 hours television per day. Per day. And spends an additional 2 hours on social media every day. Your Facebooks, your Twitters, Instagrams, Yak, Slack, Snapchats, whatever there may be. Your favorite platform, Pinterest. Might be some Pinterest folks out there. It's a lot of time. A lot of time invested in doing other things. You know that 53% of Americans don't read their Bible in any given year, don't ever pick it up of their own accord. And yet, we have so much access to it. One of those wonderful resources that we have access to, and it's been around for quite a while, are audio Bibles. Everybody familiar with audio Bibles? Used to have them on cassette, you got them on CD, now you've got it, again, in the palm of your hand. Free Bible apps to deliver the Word of God to you, to have someone read it for you, and you can hear it and listen to it, and it's great. How much time do you think it takes to listen through the Bible, start to finish? It's not as much as you would think. I was really surprised by this. 55 hours on the low end, 85 hours on the long end, depending on who's doing the reading, how fast, that kind of thing. For the first five books, the Pentateuch, only about 15 hours, 14 or 15 hours is what it takes to read through the entire section of Scripture that we know as the Law of God. And that's what I'm going to start out talking about today. If we'll take our Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, we'll look at verses 10 through 13. This is Moses' farewell address to the children of Israel after he had led them to the Promised Land, just to the edge of it. He was about to die. He had given them all the history of what had brought them to that point. He had given them all the law, reiterated. And this is a sort of final command that God gives to the children of Israel just before they cross in. And Moses commanded them, that is, he's commanding this to the priests and the elders. He commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. This was the first audio Bible that ever existed. You go and you listen to somebody read it off of a scroll because people didn't have it in their hands. Assemble the people, assemble the men, the women, the little ones, the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. Like I said, this came after Moses had just reiterated the entire law. And the law had a lot of provisions built into it, sort of self-sustaining provisions. You know, you were supposed to write it on your doorposts. You're supposed to talk with your children, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, supposed to bind it on your forehead, on your hands. It's supposed to be a part of your life anyway. Why do you need this reminder once every 7 years at the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, I won't go so much into that specifically as the connection of the law of God to the Feast of Tabernacles and what it pictures in the plan of God. Let's turn over to Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4 is what I'll read. Classic Feast of Tabernacles scripture. picturing the millennium and the reign of Jesus Christ. And we'll see what we can understand about this connection between the law of God and the kingdom of God that we're here looking forward to. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, just beautiful, beautiful words. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. What are they going to go there for? Why are they flowing to the mountain of the Lord? Well, for one thing, they're going there year by year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll see that in Zechariah 14, or we're very familiar with that. They're going there to worship the king. That also says that in Zechariah. But what does Isaiah say here about why they're going? Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. They're going there to learn the law of God. It will be the law of the land, the law of the kingdom of God. In fact, the law is a critical component of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot function without the righteous law of God. Even the most capable leadership imaginable in the absence of the law of God is worthless. Because the law of God does something very important. It defines what is good and what is right. Without the law, the word righteousness becomes meaningless. It doesn't have a meaning without the law. The law defines righteous behavior. We heard in the opening night message from Mr. Levisonier about the two great commandments in the law: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second, which is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And too many people don't understand today that that is not the end of the law. That's not all there is to the law. That is the foundation. That is the beginning of the law of God. If someone was building you a house and all they did was pour a foundation, it was a strong and sturdy foundation, and they left just that, you wouldn't have a house. You'd have a concrete slab. Not good for a whole lot. The law of God puts the structure in place on that foundation. It teaches us love. It teaches us how to worship our God. It teaches us how to love our neighbor, how to treat people right in this world. Let's keep reading. Isaiah 2, we were at verse 4. It says, he shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many people. How? How will he judge? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Why? Why won't they be doing it? The law of God is the how. It is the how of Jesus Christ will judge the nations. How we, the first fruits of God, will judge the nations. It is the why they will learn war no more. As I start to conclude here, I'd like to remind you of something that is just monumentally encouraging for us today in the Church of God. It's that the law of God helps us to do what we've been trying to do here all week. We have been listening to messages, trying to imagine what the kingdom of God will be like, what peace the world will have, what healing will come to mankind. We have the law of God in our lives. We have understanding of it through the Holy Spirit and the ability to carry it out and overcome sin. We have forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And through these things, we learn to obey the law of God that gives us peace in our lives. It gives us healing. It gives us joy by excluding those things that rob us of life, peace, joy, and happiness. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 9. Very similar thought here. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of God's way is going to go out from Jerusalem. It's going to be administered by Jesus Christ and the saints of God. It's going to be made effective by the pouring out of God's Spirit on all flesh. It will bring healing and joy and peace to the entire world. And what should we do today as a result of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and looking to that time? We don't have to wait every 7 years to have the law read to us. We have much better access than that today. And we should be investing the time. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's learn of his ways. Let's walk in his paths. And in doing so, by investing that time to learn the law of God, to live by it today through the power of God, by the grace of God's calling, let's get a foretaste of the kingdom of God that God has called us to today.